You've downloaded the episode, pulled it up on your iPod pad phone thingy, and you've even pushed play.
Oh man, what did I do? Oh, jeez, is this broken?
There's no going back.
Aww.
Written in his bathroom, Geek Talk Entertainment Thingies Inconceivable. Produced in his basement, Hysterically Accurate News of the World, Wall Steve Journal, and more. Now on the web, everywhere. iTunes, Facebook, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Podomatic. It's time for the Voice of Steve podcast. And now, if the medication is doing what it's supposed to, here's the host of the Voice of Steve podcast.
Insert funny name here.
It's the seventh day of the eighth month and sixth year of the second decade of the 21st century. Hi, it's me, Steve, and this is the 254th episode of the Voice of Steve podcast. Hi, how are ya? Habanaria Leucophia. Well, here we are, the first weekend of the 2016 Summer Olympic Games, and we're having a great old time. I mean, we got ourselves a super awesome low-budget opening ceremony that not only tried to claim that the Wright brothers were not the inventors of the first airplane, but a ceremony that also was so cheap that it had the crowd come down to perform it. I tell ya. Well, no, it wasn't really that bad, but it was close. I mean, the Olympics people in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, only had so much money to spend on these Olympic Games here. And most of what they had to spend on double overtime this past week to get the plumbing fixed at the Athletes Village. So, we got a lackluster opening ceremony, and they will be using people's backyard pools for the swimming and diving competitions. Can't wait to see the 4x12-meter relay or the women's synchronized 2.5-foot springboard. It's fun, because after they dive and swim, they can go play on the kids' swing set. Say, speaking of swing sets, we've got a great episode of The Voice of Steve for you this week. I've got Dr. Steve, Scientifical Guy, Geek Talk, and What the Crap on the way. And things will really get started with Hysterically Accurate right here on the Voice of Steve podcast. Stay tuned! You are a company run by a guy cheaper than Scrooge McDuck. We are the company who knows how to take advantage of that. We're Swanson Technologies, and we're better than you, so nah. At Swanson Technologies, we understand the importance of getting you the equipment you need when you need it, as long as it doesn't break the bank. Because, again, you guys are a bunch of tightwads. When you order from Swanson Technologies, our mostly dedicated staff will ensure that the expertly tuned, hypersensitive electronic equipment you've purchased is shipped directly to you from our warehouse. Hold on a second. Do we still have that place? Oh, I thought it burned down in that electrical fire. Okay, right. So, whichever warehouse it's coming from wherever, know that our warehouse facility and distribution center are expertly run by college graduates, roommates. It's okay. They got really good grades in warehouseology and inventory countyization before they dropped out or were expelled. And while you're waiting for our staff at the warehouse to notice that your order came in over the printer, be assured that our warehouse facility and distribution center are visually inspected with eyes and everything, and sorted by the most knowledgeable compliance specialist we could get to come in for a weekend graveyard shift, because you just had to have your super fancy Whatsamahooey in 2 to 3 business days. Following this really annoying process usually guarantees that you receive your precious equipment at some point in the impending future. So, quit your bitching. But if you just have to complain about something, know that your satisfaction is probably going to be important to us. It kind of depends on the day we're having. And we'll sorta try to address any concerns you have. Just send an email to our general mailbox We'll get to it whenever at swansontechnologies.com. Or you can just ring us up at 1-888-458-6768-456-345-456-3455-677, ##576-6847, star hang up button during our normal business hours, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Mondays and every third Thursday, Pakistani time. Unless there's something going on. Hey, you're not the only one who gets downtime, you know. You think doing this is easy? Well, it's not. Thank you for being so ridiculously stupid that you would trust your expensive, top-secret electronic equipment to a company run by Ben Swanson. You know, the guy who spent 15 years in the clink for scamming all those old ladies out of their retirement funds? Well, hey, we're all adults here. We're just going to assume you know what you're doing. So I'll just be nice and say, thank you for choosing Swanson Technologies to be your shady technology provider. We think you're probably safe with us.
George Washington crossed the Delaware
in an inflatable swimming pool floaty.
The Great Pyramids of Egypt were built
using Duplo building blocks.
What's the matter up here?
Neil Armstrong was the first man
to stop and ask for directions. If you thought that was funny, wait till you hear this.
It's time for the voice of Steve's Hysterically Accurate.
The legend of King Arthur is one that has been passed down for over 1,000 years. Tales told in ancient villages, in books written by the greatest authors, in really awesome movies like Excalibur, and in not-so-great wastes of digital film like 2004's King Arthur, or in the upcoming thing put together to keep Charlie Hunnam busy so he doesn't wander the streets bothering people, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Well, as much as we keep trying to rip the legend of King Arthur into tiny little shreds and let dogs pee all over it, real archaeologists continue the quest to prove the legend true. According to a story from The Telegraph, a team of researchers have discovered a royal palace in a British region of Tintagel in Cornwall, believed to be the birthplace of the legendary King Arthur. This new find dates back to the 6th century, when King Arthur was thought to be alive.
We're cutting a small window into the site's history. We'll also be gathering samples for analysis. It's when these samples are studied in the laboratory that the fun really starts. Since we crank the tunes, break out the suds, and nom on more chips and Doritos than should be legally allowed to be nommed on.
Previously, researchers discovered a Roman amphitheater in Chester, which some experts believe was King Arthur's stronghold of Camelot. Researchers also found Robin Hood's bow and arrows and Captain Kirk's toupee.
Are you trying to be funny, Mr. Spock? It would never occur to me, Captain.
And because nothing exciting ever happens in Bolivia, last month a tour guide was doing his thing round about the dusty bowl of the Maragua Crater, about 40 miles from the Bolivian capital of Sucre, when he discovered a giant footprint buried underneath rocks and boulders. Well, this thing is almost 4 feet wide, even bigger than the previous record holder found in New Mexico. Also, almost 4 feet wide. The one in Bolivia is almost-er 4 feet wide. So it's the largest footprint from a carnivorous dinosaur to be found anywhere in the world. It wins on a technicality because, technically, it's wider than the other one in New Mexico. I mean, you know, if you want to pick nits about it. I mean, who wants to be a nitpicker?
Me, I do.
That guy, apparently. According to Argentine paleontologist and guy you never want to watch Jurassic Park with, Sebastian Apestiguia, the print probably belonged to an Abelisaurus, a cousin of the more famous Tyrannosaurus Rex. In an interview with the Guardian newspaper, Apestiguia said,
"This print is bigger than any other we have found to date in the area. It is a record in size for carnivorous dinosaurs from the end of the Cretaceous period in South America. Plus, it's cool when big dinosaurs eat people and step on cars and stuff, you know, like in the movies."
That is one big pile of shit.
Throughout human history, mankind
has looked for answers. Who are we? What is the universe? Why is Velveeta shells and cheese so much better than regular macaroni and cheese? Science has been one of the tools used to search for those answers. And Steve is a tool who wouldn't understand science if Mr. Spock bit him in the brain. But I suppose he's going to talk about science stuff anyway, isn't he? Yep. He's gonna do it. So, I guess, here's
Dr. Steve, Scientifical Guy.
You ever sat staring at the stars, wondering if it's possible that we are the only intelligent life in the universe? It's a question I think most people ask themselves every once in a while. Really smart scientists slash philosopher types do it all the time. It's why they have the white lab coats and nerdy looking glasses. Well, according to an article at WashingtonPost.com, a team of astronomers are releasing a new study that sets to explain why, more than likely, we mere humans are one of the few life forms out there. The study is set to be published in the Journal of Cosmology and Astroparticle Physics. And again, I have to wonder what cosmology, the study of women's makeup, has to do with extraterrestrial life. Anywho, this study says that the reason we haven't found alien life out there yet is that we are still waiting for them to be born. At least, that's what uber smarty pants Avi Loeb said. He's a scientist at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics and the lead author of this bummer of a study.
If you ask, when is life most likely to emerge, you might naively say, now. But we find that the chance of life grows much higher in the distant future.
Basically, the researchers flipped the old bird at there ever being a United Federation of Planets and a Starfleet and all that junk, and calculated the probability that life as we know it should exist at any given point in the universe. Based on their assumptions, Earth life is actually premature. By the standards of the universe, humans are some of the earliest intelligent life around. So, basically, we're the kid at the mall, waiting for a text from his mom, only to discover his mom doesn't exist yet. Well, how are we gonna get home then? Tell me that, Harvard cosmetic smart guy.
I find you unacceptable.
I've lost my keys before. My wallet, too. And my wife would get frustrated and say,
well, it just didn't get up and walk away.
Oh, yeah? Well, one time, I lost the cat. It just got up and walked away. And she actually started to say it.
It just didn't get up and...
My point is, we lose stuff all the time. Even NASA.
What the... Huh?
Well, not really. There's an object on the side of a quiet country road that connects the small towns of Winganon and Tallala in Oklahoma. It seems to be a relic from NASA's early days of space travel. Now, because we here at the Voice of Steve podcast are all about bringing you all the details of a story like this, I called NASA, must have been 100 times, and got hung up on. A lot. Well, then I Googled it. And I figured out why they hung up on me when I asked them about the missing space capsule in Oklahoma. Turns out, yeah, it's not a space capsule. Yeah, back in 1959, 2 years before we even put a guy in orbit, a cement truck crashed on that quiet road, and because the mixer was full of wet cement, it was too heavy to move with the actual truck. They figured they'd just come back for it. Well, they never did. So, for 50 years, just sat there. Until a couple of space geeks decided to celebrate their 5th wedding anniversary by turning this local oddity into a bit of an art project. They got some friends who also didn't have jobs, apparently, and with a few cheap household items, transformed the abandoned mixer into an abandoned NASA capsule, including fake boosters, cables, the NASA insignia, the whole thing. To add a little more fun and mystery, they finished this fun little project on the same day that NASA's UARS satellite made an uncontrolled descent toward Earth. Unfortunately, in the 5 years since the lost capsule crashed, vandals have removed a bunch of the details. The good news is that in an effort to save money, NASA has begun looking into using space-age cement mixer technology, perhaps for the first manned trip to Mars. Well, makes sense. Just imagine how much easier it'll be to mix up all the tang for everybody.
What on earth was I drinking last night? My head feels like there's a Frenchman living in it.
It is time now for Geek Talk, which is Klingon for Basement Dweller.
Suicide Squad, the third film in the DC Comics movieverse. Oddly enough, the movie titled Suicide Squad is the one people are looking to in order to brighten everyone's mood after the downer that was Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. Therapists are prescribing Suicide Squad for people too depressed about BVS. It's crazy. Get it? Because they're all nuts and stuff? Well, now Suicide Squad is here, and people are ripping it to shreds. It's getting a 26% on Rotten Tomatoes. Diehard fans of the squad went as far as demanding that Rotten Tomatoes be shut down over the low ratings. Bottom line, despite all the marketing that seemed to be turning the tide in favor of the villains of Task Force X, it wasn't looking good for the squad. Well, it shouldn't come as a surprise that the folks who have the final say over a movie being successful are the ones who actually spend the money to go see the thing. And no, you jerkosauruses who sneak in don't count. Get away from me. Get out. According to box office results as of end of day Saturday, Suicide Squad is looking to break August box office records. Yeah, a $146 million domestic haul. Well, that ain't too shabby. And with the help of a $65 million opening day, Suicide Squad has had the second best opening weekend of the summer, only behind Captain America Civil War. And that's pretty amazing. Well, there was one or two, or 47 minor bumps in the road. At Suicide Squad's big world premiere in New York last week, things were going great until someone in the crowd yelled, "F*** Marvel!" Well, that's just an overzealous fan, right? Well, sure. It'd only be a problem if someone like, oh, I don't know, the director said it too.
"F*** Marvel!"
Aw, crap. That's going to be a big PR nightmare. Well, at least it would be if, first, director David Ayer hadn't Twitter apologized just a few hours later, and if Stan the Man Lee himself, the guy who, with the help of some equally talented compadres, pretty much invented the Marvel Universe, hadn't released a video saying he thought it was actually pretty nice what Ayer and the fans said. So yeah, even dropping an F-bomb on the competition didn't end up derailing Suicide Squad from being a bona fide hit, at least in its first weekend.
Just relax and let your mind go blank. It shouldn't be hard for you.
I am such a big fan of comic books, comic book TV shows, and comic book movies that you will never hear me say that there are too many comic book TV shows and movies out there. I don't collect comics anymore, so really, TV shows and movies are my only way of getting my superhero fix these days. They can never put out too many TV shows or movies based on my favorite characters. And I don't mind Arrow either. Ha! You see what I did there? Yeah, I just alienated all of my listeners who are Arrow fans. That was fun. So, go ahead. Make all the superhero comic book TV shows and movies that you want. Even the reboot of the Tick TV show that Amazon is doing. Bring it on!
Debuting, hopefully never, on Stars is Tomorrow Today, an edgy superhero drama that will follow a veteran from the south side of Chicago who, after being falsely imprisoned, becomes the personal experiment of a mad prison doctor trying to create the perfect man and an unstoppable killing machine. Set free, but on the run, the veteran must reconcile with the world that has turned against him and use his newfound abilities for good. From writer and executive producer, 50 Cent.
Okay. Yeah, that's enough. Yeah, that's, I think we've just hit our limit with a 50 Cent superhero movie. Yeah, I think we can't. That's all we've got room for. I think that's the glut on the market. We're gonna, it's too much. I think we're done. Oh, and 50? Yeah, Marvel called, and they want their Luke Cage origin story back.
Rest assured that I was on the internet within minutes, registering my disgust throughout the world.
It is time now for another edition of...
What the crap?
Hey, you know what? I don't say this enough. I love where I live. Green Bay, Appleton, the Fox Valley, basically Northeast Wisconsin. It's all pretty swell. It's like living in the suburbs without a big honkin' city breathing down your neck. I mean, the people still can't drive worth a darn, but at least they're not shooting at you. There just aren't those kind of scary big city type things going on. Until now. For the last week or so up in Green Bay, there have been sightings of a creepy clown wandering around the city in the middle of the night. Tell you what, you can take the Packers and all them Super Bowl trophies and Aaron Rodgers and all that stuff, and you can take them if you can promise me that I will not be walking down the street at 1 in the morning and run into Stabby the Murder Clown down by Lambeau Field.
Wah, 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 wah.
God, jeez, Phil, my imaginary intern, don't sneak up on me like that. Especially when I'm doing a story about a creepy, scary clown right here in the Green Bay, Fox Valley area. And super especially when you're wearing your creepy, scary clown costume for your super scary clown book club meeting. Man! Well, you're here now, and I shouldn't have to go to the bathroom for a few hours now, so what did you want? Oh, you have an update on the scary, creepy clown guy. Cool. Okay, what's the scoop? Phil, maybe you better let me cover that. Man, we have got to get you a better mic. From WBAY-TV's Action News HD team, according to local Green Bay actor C.J. Guzan, the scary, creepy clown is actually Gags the Clown from a horror short film about a clown that went around Green Bay. And the pictures that have gone viral are actually the first step. I knew it. It's the first step of the invasion of creepy, scary clowns. Oh, wait. Or it's the first step in the horror short film's viral marketing. Oh, okay. Thanks, CJ, for filling us in on that. But how did this actor guy know about this? Unless he's Gags, the scary, creepy clown guy. Oh, he auditioned for a role in the horror short film, but he didn't get the part. Okay, gotcha. And he's not the clown. Okay, all right, so don't beat him up or anything.
It's starting to get a little bit scary because people are starting to believe it a little bit more. And we're starting to see some of those unsettling pictures on Facebook. Not of the clown, but of people armed and preparing to defend themselves, saying, I can't go outside because I'm afraid of clowns or whatever. That's just a little too far.
Well, but there has to be a law against freaking people out like this. Isn't that right, Captain Warwick of the Green Bay Police Department? That scary, creepy clown guy has to be doing something illegal by being creepy in public.
Yeah. At the end of the day, he's doing nothing wrong. So for people to post threatening comments or damaging pictures on their interwebs, we hope they don't act on that. If they do act on that, they'll be held accountable.
Oh, well, great. So when the scary, creepy clowns really do invade, at least we know we can't rely on the system to protect us. We'll have to go all Red Nose Dawn on them, those scary, creepy clowns. But don't worry, we'll get those bozos.
Is this fun? Isn't fun the best thing to have?
Okay, so I guess Disney is pretty much fed up with being the most successful entertainment conglomerate in the known universe. I guess it's just had enough with the Marvel stuff and the Star Wars stuff and Frozen being shoved up our noses and, more importantly, our cash being shoved in Mickey Mouse's wallet every time their marketing department sneezes. Why do I say that? Well, here's why. Straight from The Hollywood Reporter. Disney is moving forward with a remake of the 1984 film Splash with an interesting twist. Channing Tatum will star as the mermaid character that was played by Daryl Hannah, while Jillian Bell will play the character originally portrayed by Tom Hanks. Now, I get it when a fresh new set of producers and writers and whatever get their hands on a property and go nuts and turn it into something unrecognizable, right? I mean, you know, Land of the Lost, hello, 21 Jump Street, the remakes of Arthur, Footloose, The Omen, and Conan the Barbarian. Seriously, but this time, the remake of Splash with a dude as the mermaid is being produced by the original's producer, Brian Grazer, and even worse, Ron Howard. He's the guy that directed the original. They're taking their own classic and turning it into the worst. I mean, how is this going to be funny? You know what? They'll probably do the opposite of 21 Jump Street and turn the original comedy classic into some kind of dramatic, action-packed story of an Atlantean army merman who comes to the shores of New York to raise an army to go back and liberate the sunken city from Alan Bauer. You know, the guy Tom Hanks played in the original. Well, actually, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, you know, the more I think about it, with the army merman and all that, I'm all over that. I mean, you know, just as long as we can get Jonah Hill in there, you know, as Channing Tatum's trusty sidekick. Oh, yeah, I'm totally on board for that.
Oh, hold up, man. That is not cool. That is not cool. We're going to have a strong talk when you get back.
I think I got it, but just in case, tell me the whole thing again. I wasn't listening.
Well, by looking at the clock, I can tell that I still have no idea why the shorthand is for hours and the big hand is for minutes. Since hours are more, you'd think hours would get the big hand. Ah, but what do I know? Well, quite a bit, actually. For example, I know that we are now at the end of yet another amazing episode of the Voice of Steve podcast. Hey, thanks for hanging with me for a few, yeah? That was great. It was fun. It was awesome. Thanks for being here. And say, if you feel like showing some love for your favorite misguided and poorly understood podcast host, feel free to visit either GoFundMe.com/TheVoiceOfSteve or head on over to Patreon.com/TheVoiceOfSteve podcast. Either way will help me toward the goal of a career in voiceover. If you've enjoyed this show for any length of time, I hope you can see that I have what it takes talent-wise to be successful at voiceover. Now, I just need your help to be successful at voiceover from a financial standpoint. Can't start something from nothing. Thanks in advance for any help you can provide, even if that's just pointing someone you think can help in my direction. And hey, don't forget to keep in touch with me. TheVoiceOfSteve@Yahoo.com is the email. Facebook.com/VoiceOfSteve is the Facebook. I'm pretty sure all the Facebook's in there. I'm sure that's for Facebook. And you can follow me on Twitter @TheVOSShow over there. Hey, seriously, I mean it. Thanks for being a listener. I really do appreciate it. Starting with the fact that you're trusting me to be at least some level of entertainment for you. I hope I made you smile, if not full out shoot chocolate milk out of your nose laugh while you were listening. I hope to be back here next week, but whenever we run into each other, I'm looking forward to it. Until then, bye.